the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to day two of the What Are You Reading San Diego Comic-Con coverage here on Rant EM Radio. If you've been listening all this time, you just heard a great episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. But now you get a bonus show. You get to listen to us talk Comic-Con. But you don't have to just listen to us. You can also join in. And my co-host, Jordan Cobb, will tell you how to do that in a second. So let me introduce him. Jordan, speak up.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Dang, man. You should be more enthusiastic. Try that again.
Okay. Hold on. What is up, everybody?
No. Nobody wants that from you.
What?
Somewhere in the middle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to day two of San Diego Comic-Con coverage here. I'm already reading comic show. It's hot as balls. I've been in a room all day with a blaring computer, but you know what? I do this for you because I love you. I love Surfer in more ways than one, but mainly you, the fans, because we love comic books. We love comic books. You love comic books. We all love comic books and stuff based off of comic books. It's all great. And what better way than to let you know what to expect than by talking about whatever came out of the biggest comic book convention of the year. So, hey, how's it going, Surfer?
It's good. I just got a message that my mic is low. Let me see what's going on here.
Oh, you can hear me good, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay, do I sound any better?
Yeah, no, you sound fine. You sound really good.
Yeah, but I got to make sure the people hear me and don't put an echo out there, so.
All right, well, hey, people in the chat, let us know how Surfer sound, how do I sound, all that. Well, I tell you that you can join us, the fun part of our show, be it a regular Sunday episode or a special episode, is that you can join us. That's half the fun. There are a couple ways in which you can join us. There is, mainly, Skype. Yeah, Skype. Silver Surfer _ forever. It's all lowercase. Search for it on Skype. It'll add the contact, then call in. We'll talk to you about whatever. As long as it's, tangentially comic book related, because that's our shtick, It's our thing. And there is the Listen Live chat room.
Yeah, so. I'm just saying, if you want to talk the toys or the movies or whatever, we don't have to run our mouths. We would like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you can engage us. We can talk to each other about it. Or we can just let you run your mouth, whatever. As I was saying, the Listen Live chat room, www.rantemradio.com/chatlistenlive, is where you can listen.
In the chat room, we got Joshy, Kid Human, Java Junkie, you and me, and six anonymous users.
Yes, and we thank you here because we got plenty of Comic-Con goodness to give you. We really do.
So what got you most excited?
I will tell you after I tell everyone else that, you know, at www.rantandrio.com/chat-listen-f-live, you can chat with us while you listen to the show live. If you can't listen live, this will be, you know, archived and played later on in a bit of a loop over the week. But if you can't listen to us, you know, now or then, I understand. I'm busy. You're busy. It's a hectic world. We don't know what's going on or how it all ends, but we're just getting by. So, you can listen to us and the other many fine shows, like the show we just came on after, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, on many platforms. There's Stitcher Internet Radio, there's the TuneIn app, there's Podbean Radio, there's Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section. And while you are subscribing, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. It'll be very helpful and much appreciated. And I will send you a personal thank you note via carrier pigeon. Something new I'm trying out.
Well, actually, let's start like we did yesterday with some trailer talk.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
They put the Walking Dead trailer out, and it basically recapped that our heroes is in a shit situation, and somebody's going to get their head bashed in. And then they show some scenes from the new season, without actually indicating who got the head bashed in. Like most of the people you saw were people that wasn't in that lineup, like Morgan.
Whatever.
And my sweetheart Carol, who
if she
dies, then I leave the show, huh?
Your bae, as it were.
Yeah, if she dies, I leave the show, and she needs to snap out of that her funk and get back to being the badass that, you know, she's been for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean.
And
okay,
we met the king,
Ezekiel. Oh man, I.
Now, since I don't read the book, is he like
someone
worse than Negan, or is he okay?
No, he's a bit kinder. He runs... Okay, by the way, yes, the news is that officially Ezekiel is, from the book, is on as a series regular. He'll be played by Kyre Payton, a.k.a. Cyborg of Teen Titans. I'm not making this up. It's great. I'm excited.
Booyah!
Ezekiel runs.
Did you just say booyah once?
No, he does not. Ezekiel does not.
No, I said you think he'll say booyah in the show.
No, doubt it. Very much doubt it. Ezekiel runs a community of survivors known as the Kingdom. And he is a former zookeeper that watches over the community with Shiva, his pet tiger. And the tiger is actually in the trailer, and that was the best moment because it's Ezekiel, and he has his tiger, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I saw the tiger. That's why I was wondering. Is he worse than Negan, or... Like, okay, so... Is he gonna, team up with Rick, or is he gonna be indifferent to both sides?
He's not on Negan's side, I can tell you that.
Like if you end up in his territory, are you fucked?
Not necessarily, no. Ezekiel's a bit of a kind soul. He's an eccentric sort of person. He's a bit flamboyant, charismatic.
But he has not run it. Him and Negan has not had cross paths yet.
Considering I'm still a bit behind on the book, I'm not quite sure. But he was introduced in issue 108. That I remember. He was he debuted in issue 108.
Okay.
The introduction of Ezekiel is instrumental towards the arc of All Out War. So. Oh my god, the tiger is actually there. I'm excited.
Running with the tiger.
The tiger is awesome. Okay, I'm an Ezekiel fan. I really do like the character and the fact that Kyre Payton is playing him. is kind of awesome. I love that.
Okay.
But yeah, the trailer looks fine. I still hate that cliffhanger from season 6. Nothing's going to change my mind on that. That was bullshit.
Well, let's see how season 7 starts. It may start in a way that makes up of all the hard feelings people have.
Oh, and anyone who listens to our show knows I had very strong feelings.
I mean, season 7 is going to start two ways. Either you're going to see the gang going back to their place with their tails tucked between their legs, or you're going to see them still at the camper, still in the spot.
Like the immediate after.
And you're going to see, no, you're actually going to see the guys, whoever got their head bashed in, get bashed in.
No, fair enough. It really is either option A or B, really. But
now,
I'm excited.
Now, you know, we got the Killing Joke about to come out. It's screening this weekend.
Comic-Con. Screen tonight.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can buy a ticket this Monday and Tuesday to see it in the theaters. Plus, follow this Tuesday, you can get it on digital demand. And a week later, Blu-ray and
your
DVD. That says a clip came out. It wasn't really a trailer. But
yeah, no.
Batman and Batgirl. You know, I've always thought this when I was a kid that Batman and Batgirl was getting it on. You know,
yeah.
I always thought they were husband and wife when I was a youth. And so they put out a clip where they get it on. So yeah, keep the kids home for this one. I don't know if people are gonna like it or dislike that. You know, but Barbara Gordon.
The implication of this seems to be like okay. So Batman loves Batgirl, and whatever the Joker does to him makes it more personal and does be like, that's my woman, sort of thing. Like she's sort of a plot device in that way. And to be fair, I just reread The Killing Joke. Now, I have mixed feelings. The Barbara stuff, she essentially is a plot device in that story as well, the original Alan Moore story. Sorry if I'm desecrating it for any Alan Moore fan, but I'm sorry, this is how I feel. Just looking at it with fresh eyes now, it's kind of what it is. But the great thing about that book is the Batman-Joker relationship study. The dichotomy between them both and the exploration of the Joker as a character, what made him that way. And the art's still really great. Like, those aspects are good, but the Barbara stuff was handled poorly, which makes me just a bit, now just a wee you bit know, more cautious about this extended material.
The Killing Joke is a very rereadable book.
For...
I wore out my copy when I got it, reading that book over and over. It's just such a compelling read.
No, it is, but I'm just saying, like, the inciting incident between that makes Batman go after a Joker, that just doesn't quite hold up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not dissing the whole story. Like, again, you just heard me praise the goddamn main crux of the story, which is the Batman and Joker relationship. That's what this story really is at its core. But the use of Barbara Gordon was not that good. Even though it's a mixed bag, that too is a mixed bag because it led to the great revival of her as Oracle and a great positive role model and hero for the disabled. Like, it's like, hey, you know, yeah, she's disabled, but she can still kick just as much ass as Batman, probably even more, and be such a bad motherfucker. So, this edition, I'm like, well, why is that even there? It just seems unnecessary to throw that in. Maybe out of context, who knows? We're going to give a review on the next, like, regular episode, right?
I don't know yet.
All right.
It's a couple days away.
Fair. Well, I meant, like, the after Comic-Con.
Oh, Pastor Adele in the chat room.
Hey, Pastor! Thank you for loving a godless human like me.
He is my spiritual guidance. when I need it most. Thank you, Pastor, for being there for me.
But rest assured, we are going to review the movie at some point. So,
oh, what movie? Yeah. Oh, you're on Killing Joke. Oh, yeah. When that?
Yeah, like net. No, okay, like our first regular show after the Comic-Con shows. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay, yeah. I wasn't listening.
Okay.
Now,
so,
I'm going to put a link in the chat room so people can watch this. This Zorn! Did you see that trailer, man?
I did see.
Fuck you, Fox. You got me wanting to tune in for another one of your shitty shows.
I actually like this better than the first, than the very first trailer they released for the show when they were like, here's what's coming to Fox this fall.
Son of Zorn. Yeah. Now, it looks like he's like one of those Conan slash Herculoid Barbarian. What was the other cartoon from back in the day? I can't think of it. He had the beast like sidekick, and he ran around with a sword. Huh? No, not He-Man. And he ran around with a sword.
Uh huh.
No, everybody knows He-Man, but
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
It'll come to me near the end of the show. Yeah, but anyway.
Son of Zorn. This take on. That sort of like He-Man story.
More like a caveman barbarian.
Something like that. Like Conan as well. And in this live-action animated hybrid where Jason Sudeikis is, voices Zorn, the defender of Zephoria.
And then he has a ex-wife and a son. And he's interfering in their lives because now he has no more people to slay and no more children's blood to drink from their skulls and
it's just not fun anymore. So now he's trying to live.
He's trying to make it up to his son.
Yeah, a bit of a normal life. Be a dad.
And the mother, she has a husband, played by Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows, who actually is still very funny. I like him in both trailers, being like, oh, I like you, and it's like. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like this trailer better than the first one they showed. So, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this now a little bit more. Oh, wait, is it Thundar the Barbarian? Like
Thundar, you got it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you, Kid Human, in the chat room for letting Surfer's mind wander no more.
Now, I watched the trailer for American Gods, and I have not read the book, but
yes.
I thought this was going to be like something like, these American Gods are more like superheroes. This is more like a actual devil, angel, what's going on in that trailer?
Okay, I should explain. Okay, American Gods, of course, is based off the, and I can't stress this enough, incredible Neil Gaiman book. Like, this is one of my absolute personal top five desert island books. I adore this book. Now, American Gods centers on a war between old and new gods. Traditional gods of biblical and mythological roots around the world are losing believers. No one's starting to, believe in them anymore. And to an upstart pantheon of gods that reflect society's modern love of money. Technology, media, celebrity, drugs, all that. So, Shadow Moon is an ex-con who becomes the bodyguard and traveling partner to one of these gods, Mr. Wednesday. And a con man, Mr. Wednesday is a con man who is secretly one of the older gods on a cross-country mission to gather.
Is he supposed to be like the devil in disguise? Or?
No. I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
Because the amazingness of American Gods is honestly reading. I don't want to give away details, but as I was saying, Mr. Wednesday's on a cross-country mission to gather up his old troops in preparation for a battle. Like, it's going to be old gods versus new gods. So, I'm getting some of that in this trailer. And again, part of the magic and beauty, in all honesty, of American Gods is it's like just what it tackles, because again, it is a very much hard look at a society, especially since it was published back in 2001, but a lot of the same things still feel a bit relevant in that book. So I'm excited, and of course it's being co-ran by Brian Fuller, who announced Christian Chenoweth from his former show Posting Days will be joining the show as Easter, and that Fuller himself said they will take care of those that haven't read the book. Like, if you haven't read the book, that's fine. Just come on in. We're gonna take care of you.
Good to know.
Yeah. Although, Neil Gaiman himself on the panel today teased like there were surprises in store for those like me that are familiar with the book.
Okay.
So that makes me a bit excited. Now, as for the trailer itself, I'm curious. I'm very much in. For the longest time, studios have been trying to say they've been trying to do it as a movie, and I just thought, you can't do this as a movie. I couldn't think of how could you possibly condense it. I'm just not too sure. But I think as a TV show, especially now with TV Now, you can definitely do American Gods.
Okay.
And it's got a wide extent characters, and even Neil Gaiman said like he was in a conversation with one of the producers on the show to make sure that the racial makeup of all the characters were kept intact, that there was no whitewashing at all. So this will be a very diverse show as well.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. put out a quick teaser advertising the fact that Ghost Rider is coming to this new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they pull that off with their budget and special effects. Well, they did a good job with Absorbing Man, but you know, Ghost Rider, that might be a different cup of tea. Yeah. And I don't know if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the right format for Ghost Rider, but I'm looking forward to it. So.
Yeah, no. Fuck it, the bed's been wrong. Yeah, no, it is interesting. And it has also been confirmed it's Robbie Reyes, the most recent Ghost Rider that is coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's already been casted. Gabriel Luna is playing Robbie Reyes.
Now, this is he drives a car, right?
Not yeah, bike. Yeah. Muscle car, of course. Honestly, I love Robbie Reyes. He is a fantastic character. And if you have not read the all-new Ghost Rider book, it's all collected. It's been collected in two complete trades. So, hey, go read that shit. It's great. I absolutely love it. It's fantastic.
Jordan, so, we got to stop the show for a second because I have to pull you into the office.
What?
What the hell does Bass Motel have to do with this show? Explain yourself.
It's Comic-Con related. It's Comic-Con news.
But it's not a comic book. And plus, you're trying to scare me personally. See, I know what you're
trying. Teen Wolf yesterday.
I know what you're trying to do. The Teen Wolf is a comedy. Ish. The Bass Motel, that's some serious stuff. I saw the original Psycho and Psycho 2 and Psycho 3.
Okay, should we not bring this up?
I just want you to explain yourself. What does talking about Psycho Bass Motel have to do with this show?
Bass Motel is actually a bit of a popular show.
Okay.
It has been a bit of a critic darling, despite, you know, not too good a range, and it's been able to go along enough to get a fifth and final season, as it was announced at Comic-Con today. It's a regular presence at Comic-Con.
Now, since I don't watch Bates Motel, has he killed his mother yet?
No, I don't even watch Bates Motel.
Okay, so...
So I'm assuming she's still alive.
So it wasn't the thing where he killed his mother and been pretending to be
No.
Okay.
But the bit...
So, right, get this over quick so I can come back.
But the other bit of big news is that there will... Marin Kane from the original Psycho, played by Janet Leigh, who gets stabbed in the shower, is going to be played by Rihanna. Yeah,
I'm quite sure the internet is having a.
I haven't heard that reaction. I haven't heard that. So.
Okay, I mean, Rihanna. She's playing. She's gonna be on Bass Motel.
Some people get upset
when you.
No, I know. We recently covered that sort of news, but.
All right, you never told me what news got you most excited.
Well, I was gonna mention one other video thing. Okay. A storyboard came out during the Rick and Morty panel, showing supposedly a cockroach version of Rick Sanchez killing a mouse and then using that mouse's corpse for this ludicrously amazing Rube Goldberg style trap to escape jail, apparently.
I can't say that I've watched Rick and Morty.
Oh, okay, if you're a Rick and Morty fan, watch this. It is very much Rick and Morty. That season 3 is still set to come out sometime later this year, although I wish it was right now. Now, as for news that got me excited, honestly, I gotta go to the realm of video games while we're staying within trailer talk. And that is the fact that Jaime Reyes is part of the roster for Injustice 2.
The current Blue Beetle.
Yes.
Yes.
Jaime Reyes.
He became the Blue Beetle after the original Ted Korn was killed, he had an alien tech scalp bond to him, and it gives him abilities and powers.
Yes, the very same Jaime Reyes. And a trailer showed at a panel for Injustice 2, which is one of the most anticipated things, obviously, at this year's San Diego Comic-Con, confirmed that Wonder Woman, even though, why do we need confirmation Wonder Woman's in there? It's Wonder Woman. It's a DC fighting game. We know Wonder Woman will be there. She was in the last game. Anyway, whatever. But, you know, it shows Wonder Woman kicking ass. It's all good. And then to a loud CM Punk, what I'm told, CM Punk Money in the Bank 2011 style pop from the audience at Comic-Con, Jaime Reyes. And then it showed him beating the holy hell out of Wonder Woman and showing off his moves and what he can do. And honestly, I'm excited. Like, again, I love Jaime Reyes' character. And I love the first Injustice game. That was awesome. And if I can somehow steal a PS4 before then, that would be great.
So, DC has Injustice for a fighting game.
Yes.
And Marvel has Contest of Champions.
And, yeah, unless they want to suddenly announce another Marvel vs. Capcom, then none. Man. What news got you most excited, Surfer?
What got me most exciting?
Yeah. What?
Exciting? That was from an old radio show I used to listen to.
Yeah, but yeah, what made you say yes?
Well, what got me most excited was some of the videos we saw. But as far as news,
yes,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
I did get. This is gonna sound strange.
No, go ahead.
I did get a little excited over the Wonder Woman poster. Came out today. And I know what that sounds like, but no, not in that way. Yeah, they released an image of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman for, you know, the upcoming movie.
Yes.
And, you know, I was skeptical about Gal Gadot playing Wonder Woman because I thought maybe she was too thin for the role. She looked good in Batman vs. Superman, but let's see how she does when she has to carry a film of her own, which she's never done.
I like this poster too. It has something that was missing from Batman v. Superman, color. And it just shows Wonder Woman looking elegant, you know, and regal as fuck. And I love the simplicity of what's on the poster saying power, grace, wisdom, wonder. I'm like, that gets it. I'm cool.
Now,
there was a trailer we forgot about. A trailer for a comic book.
Which comic book?
Briggsland.
Dude, I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, well, a trailer for a comic book happened. I wish there were more advertisements for comic books on television, but that's just my personal stance. But anyway.
Well, you're not going to get that because, unfortunately, the print medium is slowly dying out.
Yeah, don't remind me. But, as I was saying, yes, there was a trailer for a comic book. For... What was that?
That's the trailer. I didn't know that it would start automatically.
Okay, my bad. Okay, but yes, Brigsland is a new comic from Dark Horse, written by Brian Wood with art by Mac Chotter and Lee Wolfridge on colors. Brigsland tells the story of. Let's see. Nope, just trying to find. Okay, Brigsland tells the story. Of a secret movement that's planned to succeed from the United States, but becomes embroiled in its own civil war. It's pretty much a civil war amongst a family saying like,
"So
we're leaving America."
So you know they've because Obama's president, they wanted to succeed.
Well, here's the full synopsis saying, Brigsland centers on the infamous. Whatever area of the wilderness that's home to the largest secessionist movement in the U.S. A group under the watchful eye of the authorities, and a group in turmoil after Grace Briggs, the wife of the group's incarcerated leader, attempts to take control herself, sparking an internal struggle for power at just the wrong time. And honestly, I've taken a look at the art and thinking about it, especially in this politically charged a climate, I'm kind of interested.
Well,
I did like Brian Wood's previous Dark Horse book.
I might want to join that movement depending on what happens in November. Did I say that out loud?
Would you withstand their sovereign hospitality, I say in quotey fingers?
What about Southern hospitality?
Nothing.
So is that it for that story? You got some more?
Well. Also, turns out Wood is developing the series with AMC.
Oh, okay. So
a developing adaptation.
It'll be on a network that'll they can go places with it.
Yeah.
I got some Marvel news.
All right. What's the Marvel news?
Now, Marvel has. Push certain characters, and one of them was, of course, Sam Alexander as Nova. And what they did when they did that was they took the Nova we all grew up with, and then they had finally made a viable A-lister in
Richard Rider,
and seemed to have killed him off. But now he's finally returning in his own book, and. They said, the reason why you should care, Ryder has been absent from the Marvel title since his fateful battle with the Mad Titan Thanos. Ryder was replaced by Alexander, who went on to be a fan favorite character in his own rights as a member of the all-new All-Different Avengers and the upcoming Teenager Super Team, the Champions. Before Alexander run as Nova, Ryder started his own book for years in addition to appearing in New Warriors. There's still no word on the creative team or the launch date for the all-new Nova title. So,
and according to the information from the private retailer presentation, he will be appearing alongside Sam Alexander, so he will have a presence in this book.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that they interact with each other, especially since one is a Nova Prime and everybody's powers come from him, so. We'll see how they handle him this time around.
That's very much true.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry, my favorite comment right now in the chat room is from Joshy. In regards to the Brigsland comic, this would be Alex Jones' favorite comic, and I think.
Don't bring that fool up after that stunt he pulled yesterday.
Oh, Alex Jones, you're such a dickhead. Come at me, his lunatic followers. I do not care.
He wanted to get punched in the face. He really did.
He was trying to,
no, because the person he was trying to goal him is punching him. He's too smart for falling into that trap.
You know what he might need? An exorcism.
No, it's just that he needs to not make money, because that's all it's about for him. He's doing it to make money.
Well, I'm just saying we can send him to San Diego where there are surprise exorcisms going around.
Explain that to me.
Why, of course I will. As you know, Surfer, tons of things are coming up in the fall, you know, and almost once every year we're guaranteed some sort of random interactive thing that's used as a way to get the word out on a possible new TV show or comic book or something, you know, such. So, like, you know, last year we had the protesters, you know, saying, you know, Hail Satan and all that, holding up the signs for Lucifer, that also protested the Westboro Baptist Church there. Remember?
Yeah, our favorite place to worship.
Yes. Hail Satan.
Don't hail Satan while Pastor
Side note, the way you read the comic book show has no religious affiliation at all.
Don't hail Satan while Pastor Sadell's in the chat room or listening.
Pastor knows. Hey, Pastor's cool. No. Okay, but anyway, what I'm pertaining to is that for the upcoming The Exorcist TV show on Fox, yeah, that's a thing. It's happening, so there you go. Fox has arranged for surprise exorcisms to go on in downtown San Diego as a way to promote the show. The Hollywood Reporter witnessed the first exorcism outside of the Hard Rock Hotel across from the convention center earlier this morning.
Fox, they don't stick to many shows. Like, I'm surprised Gotham is getting a third season.
You and me both.
And then they like going back to old favorites, like they're bringing back Prison Break. And then they bring back 24. But
yeah, again. I mean, honestly, I saw the video of this exorcism. I was like, okay, that's actually kind of cool. That's fine. I mean, it certainly does get the word out.
You know, the exorcism, that's a scary movie.
I hold it as not just one of my personal favorite films ever, but definitely my scariest film ever. Bear in mind, I was Catholic when I did see it, so that may have had something to do with that.
He used to be an altar boy.
Yeah, pretty much. But even as no longer a member of Catholicism, that film is still scary as shit. It is terrifying. It is just... Ugh. Speaking of Fox shows, Ryan Murphy's other horror anthology show, Scream Queens, personally, not a fan, but, you know, we got some Comic-Con related news since they announced Errol's Colton Haynes is joining the upcoming second season.
Which I don't understand why he's still not on Arrow, of all places. Like, people liked him as a Red Arrow, and he was a fan favorite, and they signed him on to a couple years, and then it didn't you know? Yeah, then they let him go. And like,
again, it was a factor of they had kind of written their story of Roy, which they admitted to. They didn't think they had too much for him anymore, and even he said like, you know, I'm kind of ready to, like, expand myself, to get greater opportunities. So, it was a bit of a mutual thing. There's no ill will. He still came back.
I'm not saying it was ill will, just...
Oh, I know. I know you're not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I mean, he's still in good, like, partnership with him. Like,
yeah,
he'll
show up for an episode or two, you know. He's still
he did last year.
But, you know, he was one of the... like, the show hasn't been as good once he walked off. And there's been other factors that made the show not be as good as it was the first two seasons.
Yeah, but, I mean, well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I like Haynes, and he's right now, nothing's being said about his role. What is known about Scream Queens season two is that it is taking place at Wallace Univert, is taking place at a hospital owned by Jamie Lee Curtis. And the Chanels pretty much think that, you know, the clique from Mean Girls, except way less interesting and terrible. He'll be joined by he's not the only new guy joining. He's going to be joined by John Stamos and Taylor Lautner for season two, which debuts this fall on Fox, September.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's happening.
Now, one of the people's favorite television shows for the last couple of decades, I kind of jumped off that boat years ago, but I know a lot of people still watch South Park.
I do.
Because of the style of the animation, they're able to.
And it's hard.
You cut me off.
Sorry.
Because of the style of animation, and they can bang out the episode so quickly, they're able to keep up with current events and make fun of it. Well, one of the things they won't be making fun of is Pokemon Go.
I honestly was expecting to think, like, oh man, I can't wait for Pokemon Go to get on South Park.
Yeah, because they know this part. Pokemon Go is part of the conspiracy to take over. This is an alien plot. See, once everybody got their head into their phones.
And the reasoning why they're not doing it is also the reason why I thought they would do it. There's an episode back in 1999, one of the personal best episodes of South Park, where they tackled the whole Pokemon craze with Chimpokumon! And I thought I would get a Chimpokumon Go episode of South Park, thinking, like, you know, they could talk about rampant nostalgia and all that. I thought, you know, and given the South Park way of writing and how they tackle things, I thought, yeah, that's gonna be great. It would be awesome, especially if it's like the season premiere. It could be a good way to start the new, you know, year 20. Ah, man, what fun! No, there's something, like, we already did it. Shut up! No.
They still could do it. Don't.
Yeah, no, fair. Although another interesting South Park tidbit, they said, like, the original, that the South Park movie, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, was supposed to be a final chapter for the show, as they believed they were going too far with what they did in the movie itself.
Now, DC has, done a revival of the Hanna-Barbera line of characters.
Yeah.
And they've been doing them in a off-the-cuff way with the Flintstones and Wacky Races and so on. And
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. And they haven't done it traditional way. It's been, I don't know if you want to call it extreme or whatever.
It's been off-kilter.
And it's been mixed thoughts on how people feel that these books have been, you know. Some have liked them, some haven't. Well, of course, one of our favorite characters is Dick Dastardly and Muttley. And Garth Ennis is going to be writing a new book starring those two dastardly villains in DC
Comics.
Yeah,
let me ask you something. When you think Hanna-Barbera, do you think Garth fucking Ennis?
That's what got me
interested. Yeah, like
the Garth Ennis writing
what Hanna-Barbera property.
Yeah, well, it's not gonna be these books haven't been, you know, for the little kids.
I know, and I remember what you were saying, but it's still like such a disconnect.
But see, maybe this time these stories will be Dick Dastardly not fucking up, but actually getting things
done.
Yeah.
I mean, if Garth Ennis is writing it, yes.
We get to see what makes this character such a despicable villain, and you know, maybe he's finally gonna be effective in what he does, and not crashing his car and having his dog laugh at him. You know, if I was Dick Dastley, I'd have got rid of Muttley a long time ago.
You would have tried to do to him what many people tried to do to the Duck Hunt dog.
I would have tied him up in the park and left him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't do that to a real dog, but to Muttley.
I will say this is one of the more interesting stories that has come out of Comic-Con this year. Because again, it's. Then again, it made me think, jeez, what if they announced, like, hey, suddenly Garth Ennis is doing The Flintstones? Yeah, think about that. The Flintstones done Preacher style.
I don't know if that would work, but him doing,
Dick Dastardly. Yeah, this works.
They said that the second issue is going to give him his origin story. So we're going to find out why he's. Why he's such a son of a bitch, and why he gets to rock that mustache he rocks. So,
I mean, I can't wait to see it.
And when's it due out?
No releases yet. No been release set. Date.
It's going to be illustrated by Lena Manco, and
yep, it's.
And they got so the other books they got out, of course, is the Flintstones, Scooby Doo, Apocalypse, and Future Quest, which is Johnny Quest.
Yeah, it's not just Johnny Quest, but more the action style, like adventure characters. Like there's also, you know, Space Ghost.
Oh, it was funny. Somebody
it's
called.
It's a rotating book.
Somebody called Donald Trump's vice president race Bannon lookalike.
Except the mention of Mike Pence doesn't put Stephen. Except the mention of race Bannon doesn't put Stephen Colbert immediately to sleep.
So let's get off politics before we start.
Yeah, let's, because I'm gonna
get mad,
mighty angry. But hey, speaking of politics, I couldn't think of a better transition. I mean, you know who's a great politician? You know, a great ruler? T'Challa.
No, he's been having trouble ruling as of late.
I know. I've been keeping up with his exploits. I mean, sure. He could. I mean, hey, you know, not everyone's great. He needs a bit of help.
He's still my personal king, but go ahead.
I know. He's my king, too. King, all hail King T'Challa. By the way, that's who we support in the upcoming election, just so you know. But yeah, King T'Challa. Turns out there's going to be a lot more T'Challa. Right now, Black Panther is definitely a great book being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. If you haven't read it, please go pick it up. But there's going to be a new book. Black Panther, World of Wakanda. And this will be written by first-time comics writer Roxane Gay. Gay is best known for her 2014 collection of essays, Bad Feminist. Black Panther, World of Wakanda is expected to debut in November and is focusing on the larger world in the current Black Panther book. With the initial art featuring Ayo and Anika, the former Dora Milaje, who are now known as the Midnight Angels.
Now, is this
book... kind of gone off and done their own thing, Davis.
Yeah. Is this book going to have... I saw an image where there was the Black Panther...
Yeah.
Luke Cage... Sam Wilson and Misty Knight. Are they going to be in this series?
I have not seen that. Well, I don't know where you saw that. I didn't see shit.
Well, you're not allowed in the black meetings. But anyway.
Oh, come on. I'm kidding.
I don't make up the rules. No, I did see an image not too long ago. I guess they're going to be,
I guess all for something different.
Occurring in this book.
Well, yeah, because the first arc of this story is going to focus on Ao and Anika.
Oh, and Storm. I think Storm, too.
Yeah, Storm. Well, again, the first story will focus on Ao and Anika and serve as a bit of a prequel showing how they went rogue and fell in love with each other. Gay told the New York Times about this, saying, "It's the most bizarre thing I've ever done." And I mean that in the best way possible. The opportunity to write black women and queer black women in the Marvel Universe, there's no saying no to that.
Oh, yeah. So that those are his bodyguards, right?
Yeah, the Dora Milaje.
The ones that have turned on him so far in the new series.
Oh, yeah, they've turned on him, yeah. But to cap Joe's up, the Dora Milaje in Black Panther comics are the all-female bodyguard unit. Pretty much the Secret Service for Wakandan royalty.
Now, if you saw Captain America: Civil War, that was the woman that told Black Widow, "Move, or I will move you."
Yeah, that was pretty much it, and I got a bit of a grin on my face, like, "Yay, Dora Milaje!" Also, to Black Panther: World of Wakanda, poet Yana Harvey will be contributing a 10-page backup story based off Zinzi, who was the one that incited the riot in Coates' Black Panther number 1. So there will be some connection there.
No
artist is announced for the book, but the cover for the first issue was illustrated by Alpha Richardson of Genius.
The Black Panther, that motherfucker can't catch a break. Since they brought him back and made him an A-list character, he's had his kingdom invaded more than once. He's had his people wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
He flooded by the Submariner.
It's not a good time.
It's like this mug they keep fucking with him. And then this new writer comes in and he's just throwing more gasoline on the fire.
Well, right now, again, I still can't recommend the current Black Panther book enough because it's reading like a Shakespearean family drama. Something like, well, honestly, Hamlet. It's
like
Hamlet with superheroes and all that, and it's fantastic.
Real quick, the problem is he comes from a kingdom that in the 21st century do people really need a monarchy to rule them? And that's the question being asked in the current series.
That too. And I love how Coates is exploring that, what it means. Like, this is some of the best Black Panther work in a long time. Like, again, I still recommend, if no one's read it, the Christopher Priest run, which is the Black Panther run. You need to read that. It is fantastic. Marvel's been re-releasing them lately. But I think we might hear more about this new book, World of Wakanda, tomorrow, since Gay is appearing on Joe Quesada's Cup of Joe panel tomorrow afternoon.
Now, we got one season of Legends tomorrow, and season 2 will be starting pretty soon.
Yeah.
And, one of the things that was indicated at the end of season 1 that maybe we're going to get some Justice Society members show up, because one did show up, and then some of the people on the current show, they are Justice Society members. Well, Katie Lutz, who plays White Canary, you're right, put out a tweet. With the
cover page
for episode 2, which is entitled Justice Society of America.
Yep, saying Justice Society of America, who do you think we'll see? And I'm pumped. I love the Justice Society. Then,
if we go by who's been on the show already,
yeah,
that means Jay Garrick, Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and
Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific, yeah.
Who's, supposedly going to be actually truly become Mr. Terrific season 5, hopefully, of Arrow. Yeah, man, that's awesome. I mean, again, I really do love Justice Society. Once I found out about them when I was getting early into comics, I found them just as exciting and cool as the Justice League. And then that two-parter of Justice League, the cartoon, happened where they went to that alternate world where it was the Justice Society.
No, they weren't the Justice Society.
Oh, right. They were the...
They were analogs of the Justice Society.
But, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, let's not hold these people. Let's get through some of these news stories a lot quicker.
Yeah, no. That's fair. All right, what do you want to go with next?
You're the boss.
All right.
Did I say that out loud? Shit, I didn't think that.
I run this bitch! All right, anyway. New projects coming out from San Diego Comic-Con. A genre-related one seems to be interesting. Wyatt Cenik, formerly of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, is starring on People of Earth, which is a upcoming sitcom where Cenik plays Ozzie Graham, who investigates a support group of people allegedly having had alien encounters. And yet, the more he examines their bizarre claims, the more he realizes there's some truth to their story.
So they actually did get anal probed
and abducted by aliens.
Yeah, okay.
So, and Conan O'Brien is executive producing as well.
Yeah, makes sense Conan would get in on action. I saw a show last night from Comic-Con. It was okay. But
I've been digging his Comic-Con work so far. Like, I like his interview with Melissa Benoist, Grant Gustin, and Stephen Amell.
Yeah, I didn't see that show. I missed that one.
Oh, that was good, man.
I gotta look that up online.
I recommend it. But yeah, I forgot to see if there was a release. It'll come sometime later this year. But honestly, after hearing about this, I think this has potential to be a pretty good comedy show, a pretty damn entertaining comedy. I think there's something to it. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Let's check back in the fall to see if I'm wrong. You know, Surfer, we've had a lot of crossovers this year.
Right.
You know, we had Batman meet up with Superman. Flash went over to Supergirl. And, you know, a whole bunch of people in the Marvel Cinematic Universe met up.
Okay.
Yeah, Batman even met the Ninja Turtles. And that'll sort of happen again. And emphasis on sorta.
Okay, explain yourself.
Sorry. Man, I think con flu found its way down to me. DC and IDW are continuing partnership. First up is Batman TMNT Adventures, which is a crossover of Batman the animated series and the current CGI animated TMNT Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crossover of the animation. Whereas the original was like the comics, like pretty much New 52 Batman crossed over with the current IDW Ninja Turtles. But now it's the animated. I guess it's true.
I have more of an animated. I get more excited of an animated crossover than a print crossover.
Yeah. I mean, I did read the Batman Ninja Turtles crossover. It was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really was, so. I'm kind of looking forward to this. And the next one is another sequel. There was the Star Trek Green Lantern, The Spectrum War. A 6-issue miniseries of Hal Jordan coming across the ever-faithful crew of the USS Enterprise.
That's always been kind of strange, considering one's supposed to be far off in the future. And one's supposed to be in the present.
Yeah.
How do they explain that?
I don't quite remember.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess I had to reread it. But this new one, no title yet, will be a direct sequel to the first crossover. And we'll pick up as Captain Kirk and the Enterprise crew again cross paths with Hal Jordan, and this time more people of, more members of the Green Lantern Corps, and teases that will be more cosmic heroes and villains to fans of both series. The promo art shows the various different Lantern Corps leaders, as well as Uhura, Spock, and Kirk. By the way, bear in mind, this the iteration of the Star Trek crew used was the current movie one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who are, the stars of current IDW Star Trek book? And speaking of IDW and Star Trek comic books, the current Enterprise crew will meet the original Enterprise crew. That's right. Pine and Shatner will come face to face.
Oh, that sure is enough. Just an older, younger meetup. I mean,
yeah. They announced there will be a two-part story taking place in Star Trek number 59 and Star Trek 60.
Speaking of Star Trek, are you seeing it this weekend?
I'm not going to be able to see it this weekend. I might be able to next weekend. But the other reason for this miniseries is that the current Star Trek book is coming to an end. The 60th issue will be its last, but the series will be re-released in October as Star Trek Boldly Go. That'll pick up on the status quo of the Enterprise crew following, hey, now I just mentioned it, Star Trek Beyond. And there will, of course, be another Star Trek miniseries of Star Trek Starfleet Academy. So, plenty of Star Trek to go around, Surfer.
I wonder if Starfleet Academy is going to star a certain character from the movie.
Is that a spoiler?
No, I'm not going to get into it now.
All right.
Who it could be. Anyway.
All right, I respect that.
You watch a sci-fi channel? Because I find most of the shows to be disgustingly shitty. I know some people like this stuff, and they got a new Sharknado coming out. Is it this weekend or next weekend?
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. Stop it. Two.
Sharknado 4 isn't coming out?
Oh, God. I don't care.
Now, look, it's not my cup of tea, but I get it. People find it goofy fun.
Hey, I actually, in a stupid way, enjoy the first two Sharknado films, but that's about as much as I could handle.
And, for some reason they made Tara Reid's career more viable for that franchise. I don't know why. But anyway, the reason I brought up sci-fi is because they're coming up with a Van Helsing TV show. But this time it's going to be a female Van Helsing. So I guess it'll be kind of like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer in a way. That got you excited at all?
No.
Kelly Overton. She was in True Blood, so she's dealt with vampires before.
Yeah. Wow, this is doing absolutely nothing for me right now.
Okay.
I'm kind of not feeling it.
You hate women, I get it.
Don't you even pull that bullshit again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
get these last two stories out so we can pay the bills and send everybody home to sleep.
All right.
But thank them for listening.
Yes, we will. And our last two stories has something to do with DC Comics. Now, currently I'm reading the new Flash book, and I'm loving it. If you're looking for something to read out of DC Rebirth, Joshua Williamson's The Flash, you can do no wrong. But this link can, because, god damn it, you will. Oh, there we go. Two new speedsters are coming to The Flash. At the end of the recent issue, in issue two, a Speed Force storm hit, and a close friend of Barry's who didn't reveal, but they're like, yeah, Barry, I know you're the Flash, you know, all that. So he's kind of Flash's sidekick, since he's teaching him the ways of, you know, the Speed Force. But then at the end of issue 3, another Speed Force storm comes in, and it, like, hits multiple people in Central City, so there's, like, a whole bunch of new Speed, you know, there's gonna be a whole bunch of new Speedsters, but there are two that we know about. And they're both women. They are Mina and Avery, who will be utilizing their newfound powers to work alongside the Flash. So essentially, this will be the Flash speed team. And of course, you know, the other version of Wally West is still dealing with his speed, you know, speed powers. Meanwhile, most likely, Barry's friend that got hit with the lightning first is going to become the villain, the supposed rumored God Killer, or that could be a whole new character.
Mm-hmm.
No, Godspeed. Why did I say God Killer? Read The Flash. It's great. I love it. It's also good to have a Flash book with, you know, good art again. Alright. Last story of day two. DC Comics has named two new group editors at their press breakfast this morning. Senior editors Marie Javins and James S. Rich are now heading up the Hanna-Barbera and Vertigo lines, respectively.
You know anything about these two guys?
Not too much. Okay, hold on. Let's see. There's something here. Rich was an editor previously at Dark Horse and Oni Press and wrote 12 Reasons Why I Love Her and It Girl and the Atomics. Whereas Janvis was hired in early 2015 by DC to spearhead the Convergence event and previously worked as a Marvel editor from 98 to 2000. Pretty much all I know.
Okay, I mean, it's not news I could care less about, but I mean, it is news I could care less about because I like DC, don't get me wrong, but these names mean nothing to me. So anyway, but it was news out of Comic-Con, so we had to talk about it.
Yep. So that's it. Day two is wrapped.
That's a wrap?
I mean, I'll check my links to see if we didn't miss
anything. Well, I got a news story that you haven't seen yet. And it has to do with NASA putting out a patch to commemorate Rocket Raccoon and Groot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know who's into NASA patches, but
I mean, I admit they was pretty cool.
Speaking of patch, I got a Star Trek patch. I need to find something to sew it on to so I can take my place as a Federation citizen.
An official member of Starfleet.
Well, you have just listened to our second day coverage of San Diego Comic-Con 2016. Here on Rant EM Radio, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. If you were entertained by us, we'll be back tomorrow at 8 p.m. for day three of our Comic-Con coverage, me and Jordan. And we'd like for you to join us if you've been keeping up with the news and you got an opinion. This is what the show's about.
Especially if you're at San Diego.
And then after that, at 11 p.m., we can get back to the wrestling talk with William Morgan and the Wrestling Calling Show. Big Tone and all his cast and crew. And he lets you talk about anything and everything that to do with wrestling. And, of course, they'll probably talk about the WWE draft and preview the WWE Battleground. So, you know, get on that train. And then we'll be back on the air again Sunday for a quick one-hour show recapping everything for Comic-Con, the regular What Are You Reading comic book show at a special time of 6 p.m., followed by the pre- and post-shows for WWE Battleground here on Rant In Radio. The pre-show starts at 7. The post-show will begin at 11. We'll preview all the matches, and then at 11, we'll come back and complain or praise the WWE for their final show before the brand split. And then come back Monday and hear more wrestling talk live at 11:30 p.m. with Talk Brunch. And then more wrestling talk on Tuesday, 8 p.m. with The Rant. And then when you've had your share of wrestling talk and can't take no more, at 11 p.m., the Freaks and Effing Geeks to smooth that out. So pop culture and hot topics and rage is what you get on Freaks and Effing Geeks, hosted by, of course, Lee Champion. And then Wednesdays, you get a Thumbstick Ninja at 8 p.m. I think it's live this week. If not, then you'll get a replay. But you still get some Thumbstick Ninja, so that's the new show here on Rant In Radio. Thursday will be Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. And then back to next Friday. Another episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. where you may learn something about wrestling history and get that wrestling talk. So, full week of wrestling and non-wrestling shows for you to listen to. And, of course, everything is available on download. Mm-hmm. You can't stay up late at night.
Yeah, I mean,
we all got to get some sleep.
We got everything for you here at Rant Entertainment Media Radio because we love you and you love us. So it's a mutual thing. It's great. I love it.
Anything in the chat room real quick? Let's see.
Nope. Just still Joshy, Java Junkie.
He's asking who's saying what on what shows. Well, I could go all the hosts, but then that'll hold us up, and we all want to go to bed.
We gotta get up early.
I apologize to you, Java Junkie.
Yeah, it's getting late, it's been a long day. So I would like to get some shut eye.
So with that, say goodbye to the people, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for staying up late. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.